stars. Off to her right, another million stars, closer, larger, more colorful. The night lights of Duluth sliding north along the hill. A dying summer and cool. The breeze off the lake had teeth. The day before, trade scored a Czechoslovakian army coat at the Goodwill store, and she tugged the wool collar up around her throat. Superior's water temperature didn't get much above 50 degrees, even at midsummer, and you could always feel the winter in the wind. But with the coat, she was warm inside and out. She took a pull of the wine, wiped her lips on the back of her free hand, savored the thick grape flavor. A month, she thought. Another month here, and she'd start moving again. Back to Santa Monica for the winter. Didn't like Santa Monica. Too many bums. But you could freeze to death in Minnesota, no joke. Get a skinful of whiskey and forget what you were doing, and the next morning the cops would find you in a doorway, frozen stiff, frozen in the L shape of the doorway. She'd seen it. Still, for the time being, she had a good spot, a cubbyhole that was safe, obscure, sheltered, and free. Women transients had a tougher life than the men. Nobody wanted to rape some broken-down 35-year-old bum with no teeth and a 14-inch beard and scabs all over him. But women, no matter how far down they'd gone, had that secret spot that some guy always wanted to get into, even if only to prove that he was still male somehow, some way. To further prove it, half the time they weren't happy with simple rape. They had to beat the shit out of you. Some women got so accustomed to it that they barely cared, but Trey wasn't that far down. Scrape away the dirt, and she didn't look too bad. She still worked sometimes, waitressing, fry cook jobs, rent-a-maid stuff. Hadn't ever quite gotten to the point of selling herself, not technically, anyway. Here in Duluth, she had a nice routine. The morning bus driver with the route along Garfield Avenue, his name was Tony, would let her ride into town for free. There were good, safe public bathrooms at the downtown mall, and after cleaning up, she'd get up to the Miller Hill Mall to do a little subtle panhandling, avoiding security, picking just the right guys. Got a dollar? Got a dollar, please? She'd perfected the waif look, the thin high cheekbones and starving green eyes. Some days she cleared $50. Try doing that in Santa Monica. She took another pull at the wine, leaned back, heard the sailboat woman laugh again. Then, a little later, something else. Somebody coming. Carl Walther sat silently, his back against the side of the building, his senses straining into the night, the pistol cold in his hand. He could hear the elevator inside, moving grain up to the drop pipe, and the rush of it into the ship's hold. He'd waited like this before, in the dark, on an early morning deer stand, listening for footfalls, trying to pick movement out of the gloom. As also happened in a deer stand, when he'd first found his ambush spot, he'd been all ears and eyes. As the minutes passed, other thoughts intruded. He thought he could feel bugs crawling on him. A mosquito whined past his ear. He needed a new job, something that didn't involve food. 6 months in a pizza joint was enough. He thought about girls. Randy McAndrews, a jocko three-letter guy, had been talking after gym class. Carl tolerated on the edge of the conversation, and he said Sally Umina had been cooling him off with blowjobs in the back room of Cheney's Drive-In. The account was greeted with a half-dozen groans and muttered bullshits, but McAndrews swore it was the truth. Carl had groaned with the others, but later that day had seen blonde Sally in the hallway and had instantly grown a serious hard-on, which he had to conceal awkwardly with a notebook as he hiked through the school. And thinking